Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Tapped Out Wrestling Podcast. I'm, of course, Nick McDaniel, and as always, I am joined by Momentum Iron.
Back in the studio again with a news break. I don't know if anybody else knows this yet or not. I just got the news. The Daryl Sailor's incident has been resolved.
Perfect. That's what we wanted to hear. I'm glad that is all finally well and good. And you know what, man? That's so behind the scenes. That's such a deep cut, as they like to say. You got to be way behind the paywall over on our youtube.com/C/tappedoutwrestlingpodcast. Or you could just go to YouTube and search Tapped Out Wrestling Podcast and you'd find us, believe it or not. Matt makes it so much easier. You know, you get the show early, you get it often. Matter of fact, we kind of joked about it when we were doing it, but last week's episode, you know, almost had the damn thing 2 weeks early. Because yes, folks, I did go on vacation. I was essentially gone. I mean, what was it like? 12 days, basically,
like
between my vacation. I was home for a day and then gone again to WrestleCade. So literally, like one day within like 13 days, I was gone. It was crazy, crazy.
What was the name of that biscuit restaurant again? We stopped at
Bring It On Down to Biscuitville.
God, that place was awesome. Salty, but great.
Yeah, man. Every time I see it, I always think of that Justin Timberlake skit on Saturday Night Live. You know, it's Bring It On Down to Liquorville and Bring It On. So, and that's why every time I go past it, like, it was so funny. We got home and I was talking to the wife and I said, oh my, because I don't know if I told you this, like, we were driving back home from our vacation and I tried to stop at one and it was already closed. And
oh,
so,
shit.
Yeah. And so that's why when I saw it, when we were coming back from WrestleCade, I was like, bring it on down to Biscuitville. And I jerked off went off the road. And I was like, we went to Biscuitville. So yeah, I love Biscuitville. Biscuitville, if you're listening, we are taking sponsors. So absolutely hit us up at tappedoutpod@gmail.com.
Biscuits. That's something I can get behind.
That's an understatement. But listen, though, Myron, I'm just telling you,
yes,
if you eat a lot of biscuits and you're trying to get, you know, like get back in line. Listen, by the way, my diet went to shit for like 2 weeks while I was gone. I mean, I was eating, you know, lobster up in Maine. You know, I was eating Hershey's chocolate we went to the Hershey Museum in Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Wow.
I mean, dude, it was just between pizza places and sandwich places and lobster and just, yeah, I wrecked it. Then I know, but so I'm like, all right,
gonna wreck it.
Came back. there's an inside joke there that we'll leave along, T.L. Hopper. So anyway, so now that we're back, I started fresh this morning, back on my full fledged keto diet, gonna get these LBs back in check. And guess what? I broke out first thing this morning, Myron.
What's that?
My Athletic Greens.
Ooh.
You're going to need a smaller cabinet because now you can take all those supplements you're taking or not taking and replace them with this. AG1 by Athletic Greens brings 75 vitamins, minerals, whole food sourced ingredients, probiotics, and adaptogens together in one place. It might just be the most comprehensive and convenient nutritional regimen on the planet. Immunity supporting, recovery enhancing, digestion improving, energy lifting. Made to the strictest quality standards. Made New Zealand. Made for just about everybody.
That's right, man. Make sure you're kicking down those AG1 Athletic Greens.
Oh, yeah.
You know, look, it beats handfuls of supplements all day. Just do that one in that drink. Tastes good. Chug it down. You're good to go.
Awesome.
But speaking of being good to go, man, so we got a couple weeks kind of to catch up on a little bit. We're not going to go too far backwards into the weeds, but there is obviously something we wanted to talk about. But first and foremost, we're going to jump into the big goings on. So full disclosure, everybody, we are recording this on Monday prior to Raw. So we're going to discuss obviously some things that may change.
The
way, if you were a paying member behind the wall, you would have still gotten this before Raw came on, so it wouldn't be out of context. But it'll come out obviously on Wednesday post Raw, so we'll see the fallout, if there is any, on Raw about War Games. That's correct. So, Myron, I know we both had to catch it last night because we literally got back into town last night on Sunday.
Yes.
What'd you think?
Crank that stuff up. Got it going. Ozzy comes out, sings War Pigs while they're doing the whole intro. And I could not have been happier with anything on the show. I enjoyed everything. The women's match, War Games match, the men's War Games match, Theory, the whole Shotzi Blackheart and Ronda. This was a great show. A great show. Man.
Yeah, I agree. Top to bottom, I thought they did a fantastic job. Listen, I was as skeptical as anybody, by the way. I thought the like press conference, media scrum or whatever afterwards, I was just like, ugh, but it looked good. They completely, you know, worked the narrative that they were trying to tell in there.
Amateurish.
I hate to say control, because it's not, it's, you know, controlled chaos. Don't send anybody out there that you don't think you have, you know, to do the right thing. And I think that's probably a lot that had to do with it, to be honest with you. And some people called it petty, and I was like, I'm not necessarily saying it wasn't. But they did a great job with it. Let's go with that. But listen, we're going to kind of work a different route to get where we want to go discussing this, because I want to start at the end. I want to start Bloodline versus, you know, the babyface team that was over there. Let's leave that what it is. How about this, that we had, with all the parties involved over on the babyface team, Drew, the Brutes, and Kevin Owens, it boiled down to basically it was Kevin Owens involved mainly in the arc with Sammy and the Bloodline. Like there was your story. And what a story did they tell throughout that match, dude. Sammy proving his, it was all about like Sammy proving his worth to the Bloodline.
And he did.
And he 100% did. I agree.
Wow. Couldn't have been better job. The way it ended was so good. The way he had to turn on his former best friend because he's a member of the Bloodline now. That was intense. That was so cool. I enjoyed every bit of that. Man, it's Sami Zayn becoming such a guy who was basically always to me a comedy bit, El Generico style guy. He's getting to the point Jim Cornette respects him. He's doing amazing work. I could not have been more surprised for this coming out of Sami Zayn, and it has been terrific. I really have enjoyed this whole thing, man. Can't talk about enough about how good the whole Bloodline storyline has been, and Jey Uso accepting him at the end of the match. Wow.
I mean, he saved him mid-match. Then it was like piece after piece, essentially sacrificing, you know, Kevin Owens to him, you know, offering him up to him. Again, it's just like Sammy doing everything to actually like earn his place, like willing to do everything. And like I said, even like they use the emotion of their, like you said, like of Owens and Sammy's friendship. And then just, look, they did a phenomenal job. You know, we had a conversation in the car, you know, Huck was with us and going up to WrestleCade, which we will discuss some of those later, some of the activities. And it was funny how like even wrestlers like, you know, who know what the hell they're talking about, like, you know, like Huck, they're like, Roman is, everything he's touching is turning to gold.
Yes.
Like, he's on a run like no other. Like, it's almost like I'm going to jinx it by saying they can't screw it up, but it's almost like they can't because they're just crushing it.
Yes.
So.
Acknowledge me. How over is that? Man.
Yeah.
I love it.
And I'm with you, man. The Ozzy entrance was just badass. How cool was it to see Becky back?
Yes.
You know, I'm all, you know, and what a finish, dude. That leg drop off of the top of the cage. Like, it's like, let's start them off with a bang, baby. You know, it was really cool. The one piece I do want to address, though, I want to talk about the triple threat for the U.S. title. It was funny. I had people going like, I can't believe they put Theory over. Oh, and I was like, but they did it so well. Like, the fans booing, like, you're supposed to boo him. He's, you know, he's a bad guy, right? He's a heel.
He looks like a heel. He's handsome, and he looks like a Greek god, and he's taking over and beating the people you never should think he should beat. That's what it looks like. That's the heel. That's the person you're supposed to hate. What they're giving you is a natural response that would have been perfectly natural in wrestling 20 or 30 years ago. Nowadays, we have to analyze stuff and break it down to the point we don't understand why this guy's getting heat.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's the finish was perfect in the sense of, you know, he pins Rollins because of the spear. Mm-hmm. So he's going to be able to claim he pinned Seth Rollins to win that title. But of course, we all know, like, no, he speared him. And that, you know, I mean, it's the great story of, like, what he's going to say will actually be kind of true. But yeah, so I mean, that's kind of what I meant by, like, it's kind of the cool. Now I also like to come back, you know, 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago, they're burying theory. They're burying theory. They're burying theory. Now he's just your United States champion, right? Like, mm-hmm. What did we keep saying? Like, give him a minute. There might be a story. Hell, I even said they might be just trying to figure out what they're going to do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, and they did it.
When you look at it now, the United States and Intercontinental belts are the main belts on the show now that Roman's got both of them. Those belts are elevated now. Put it on theory. Kid's got a rocket strapped to him.
Even if he's going to be just tangled up in a feud with Rollins and Lashley, I mean, that alone is good. That's good for him. But like I said, man, War Games, I would love to know people's thoughts. TappedOutPod@gmail.com. What they think of, you know, of War Games. I was super impressed. And listen, you like it or don't like it, right now WWE has a ton of momentum. You know, most watched Survivor Series of all time. We're already talking about Rumble being the highest grossed gate of all time, you know, for Rumble. You know, just all these numbers. I mean, it's getting better and better and better. And by the way, 3 years ago, we were ready to stick a fork in WWE, and everybody talked about how they were going out of business and they sucked and they're terrible. Well, oh, how the times have changed. That's all I will
say. The man with three H's is their savior. He has done, allowed to do what he's always wanted to do, what he knows how to do. He's made it so good for them right now. I love it.
I love the, you know, even the speech of post, it's a way to honor the past while moving into the future. I mean, he does that, you know, because we've got the traditional, you know, War Games, you know, and sure, the rules are modified and we get it. We understand, right?
Yeah.
Shit happens. It does. So,
evolution.
Yeah, evolution. Yeah. Well, now they're, you know, so here's the thing. I want to kind of back travel a little bit. We were not in town to do a show post Full Gear. So I just want to touch on some of that before we get too far along. Things I loved. MJF becoming the new champion, we've been wanting for a long time. The problem was, you know, they turned him heel. He was just getting the reaction that he went heel. Now, you know, now he turned regal. I was not a fan. We had this conversation. I can't remember who we were talking to at WrestleCade about this. And I was like, I really wasn't a fan of them turning regal. I felt like they did it just kind of, I don't want to say to do it, but yeah, to do it.
Regal's always been able to be such a good heel influence. Okay. I'm looking forward to seeing where this is going to go now.
My thing is he doesn't need Regal.
I don't know. Maybe they think he does. Maybe they want to put as much on him as they can. Because if you really want to put as much on him as you can, Regal will be the thing to do it.
Yeah, I know what you're trying to say, but you're never going to convince me that Regal, and well, let me put it this way. No one else is going to be able to. Time and Regal and MJF might, but I just don't, you know, just for me personally, I don't think he needs him. I think he's more than capable without. And I just, I don't know. But again, let it play out. See what the story is with Brian and Moxley and all that kind of stuff. So we'll see there. Wanted to go over some of the notes. By the way, the show was super hot, except the hottest act in the company, the Acclaimed. I did want to bring out to this, so this is going to reassure something that I think we all know to all too well already. In my opinion, the Acclaimed is pretty much, other than the MJF, like love slash heat he gets, I think the Acclaimed get the better reaction, the best reaction in the company. That's just my take. Everybody, they're hot, they're over. They got a so-so reaction. It was good, but not quite what it usually is. And I think it was just because of placement on the card and how long that damn card is. I can't tell you how many times we say you cannot run those long shows.
You can't get all your shit in. You shouldn't try to get all your shit in. You've got a super card. You've got a, you've probably got an unlimited talent roster, but you can't get everybody on a show because nobody's going to want to watch it after the first 2-3 hours. You know,
3 hours is kind of your cap. And I've said that, by the way, when WWE does it, I still say the same thing. Still too damn long. Good to see Saraya pick up a win over Britt Baker. Glad she's back. I said that, look, as long as she's healthy and she's cleared, kudos. I'm glad she's back, and much, you know, much love and respect that she's getting to do what she loves to do again.
Yes.
I was impressed with Jungle Boy, which was not something that would typically come out of, you know, most people wouldn't see that coming. I thought he looked pretty good against Luchasaurus. Look, I know a lot of people, look, let's dive over a little bit. We were with some people that just absolutely like hate Chris Jericho at WrestleCade, that were just like, oh my God, I can't believe he's in that position. He should be moved. He shouldn't be there anymore. And we're sitting there arguing like, he's one of the best things they have going, you know, in the company. He's like, he has this place for a reason. How is Chris? It's funny that Chris Jericho's become, you know, in some people's eyes, the guy he, like, the type of wrestler he hated when he came into the company. Yet I didn't see it then, and I don't see it now.
He's one of the greatest forces in professional wrestling, then, now, forever, if I'm going to steal some WWE stuff. Okay, think about it. This guy is over. He's a big deal. He knows the business. He knows how to make other people look good. I can't complain. I would see him. I would watch him in any capacity. He meant that much to me throughout my life. I mean, I'm not going to say in my childhood, but he's been in wrestling a long time. So, but he's still in great shape.
Yeah, I mean, he's in good shape. I mean, he's still, you know, but my thing is, it's always going to come down to drawing power. And when it comes to drawing power, there's not many in wrestling, period, much less in AEW, that are better at it than Chris Jericho. So
he helps legitimize them, in my opinion.
I agree with you. You know, also at the same time, sorry about that. Got a text mid-show. That was so... Jeff Jarrett is another person that I think, look, we all know I love Jeff Jarrett, and I'm going to share some stories about Jeff Jarrett at WrestleCade in a minute when we get into the WrestleCade section. I love Jeff Jarrett in the ring, but I also feel like for AEW, they completely delivered with the Sting, Darby, you know, Lethal Jarrett thing. But now let's put Jarrett back into the back. Let him make an impact back there, no pun intended. Let him, you know, do what he does best in that role. And let's pick our spots when we bring him out. Don't use him every week. Because some people would argue that Sting's overused, you know, in AEW. But here's the funny thing. It's like tomato, tomato, what we just said about Chris Jericho, right?
Yeah.
So my take is just pick your spots with Jarrett and, you know, use him, you know, in those spots. And every now and then, maybe he could stroll out on TV, but actually getting in the ring, make it special. Because it is, by the way. Now I wanted to ask you, I love, you know, women's wrestling, don't get me wrong, but that's kind of your wheelhouse. Like, you're like, you know, you're super into it. What's your take on, you know, Jamie Hayter defeats Toni Storm? She's now your AEW interim women's champion. Well, then essentially they say, they're stripping Thunder Rosa's reign and then retroactively acknowledging Toni Storm's interim championship as a regular championship. So now her in one night, Jamie Hayter becomes your AEW interim / women's champion. And Toni Storm's reign now is officially a full reign, not an interim reign. And Thunder Rosa is stripped of that title.
They have to get rid of that interim shit, dude. That is just too much. Okay. One thing about wrestling is you never should have to explain it to anybody. Fans should be able to recognize what you're doing right off the bat, because wrestling has been done the same way for 100,000 years. Okay. The stuff shouldn't be, well, these are the interim and then this interim. And when this gets put down and we do this, this becomes another reign and this is legitimized. And all of a sudden now it's too complicated. You either have the belt and can defend it or you don't. End of story. Please simplify
this. See, here's the funny thing. I at one point in time, I kind of said yes. My take is, if you're going to consistently enforce that you have to defend it every 30 days, 60 days, whatever, I agree. Then once they can't, you just strip them, you crown a new champion, and they get a rematch when they come back. Now, devil's advocate to that would be, listen, if you're just not Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns, etc., if you're just not going to make your champion defend his title every 30, 60 days, what are you doing then? Let them hold that belt. Don't crown the new interim champion. See how long they're going to be out. If it's, you know, like, hey, we're going to find out in a couple weeks. Okay, run with it. They're still your champion for a couple more weeks. And then after 30 days, 60 days, or whatever, if you find out they're going to be out 6 months, take it then. Don't, like, I know why they do it, because, you know, let's be blunt. They do it because MMA does it, and everybody thinks that's the way it should be done. Well, it's pro wrestling, not MMA. If Thunder Rosa was hurt and wasn't going to be able to defend, et cetera, then you strip them.
Yeah.
We didn't have any problems stripping CM Punk and the Elite of their trios and their world title and just crowning an outright new champion, you know, when that stuff went down. What happens if, and this is hypothetical, and I, you know, down the tangent and it goes, what if that investigation was 2 weeks and they found out that the Elite had, you know, caused all this, and you reinstate Punk 2 weeks later, you stripped him of his belt? Like, shouldn't it had to go? I mean, unfortunately, and I hate to say this, should they have gone the full 30 days before they did anything? I don't know. TappedOutPod@gmail.com. Let me know. What's your opinion? What's your thoughts on it? We all know what side of the fence, you know, at times I stand on CM Punk. I still think they probably just did everything too fast.
Yes. Now, do you think wrestling should have a published rule book, or should we just all assume? No.
We make shit up as we go along. It's wrestling. if you have like a pattern, a clearly established pattern, the only thing I hate about the women, the interim thing, is I never thought, let me backpedal up. Now you're retrofit, you know, retroactively assigning, like, okay, well, the interim's no longer the interim. They're the, you know, full. I'm like, that kind of mess shows up. And I don't like that part of it. So, but what do I know?
I don't get it all. But then again, I'm not a hip wrestling fan. You know, that's the thing.
Things to people debate at WrestleCade. Speaking of which,
yes,
let's jump into the WrestleCade, the adventures of, as they we will. First and foremost, oh, geez, I can't even talk today. It's the sinuses. Always good to see our buddies Rafe, Dave, G Pie, Jay Z, Hoop, Rucker, on and on and on. And look, there's tons of them. Tons of them. We too many to name. Anybody that I'm missing before I hurt anybody's feelings that we see on the regular that I just, Dennis, I'm sorry. See, I told you I would, because I'm old and my sinuses are completely messed up. Mm-hmm. Mika, Patrick, you know, so I was trying to give you some there. I had a few more. I just wanted to let you pick up.
I'm just trying to make sure I can remember everybody I met. It was a lot. I got to finally meet Brittany Houghton in person. She's such a lovely individual. Everybody there was so cool. Everybody's so nice. You know, I walk out of there without a single complaint about anyone's behavior. So, can't complain.
That's a different, yeah. The people are good people, but sometimes I was like, you're right though. Cause at times I'm like, you know, we had Matt Coon. We got to sit there, talk to him, you know, to both nights. you know, we both, you know, we had a bottle of water, sit there and had some conversations. And you know, great guy. I mean, you know, you meet people that you like, hey, how would they be? You're always surprised. And you know, and it's, you're always turned out a lot of times like, hey, dude, they're just, and this is my, and this is what I try to tell my wife and people when we're talking about them. Like, I mean, most of the time these people are good people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just like in the real world, not always, but most of the times these guys are good people. And then the funny thing is the running joke that we have is the people that shouldn't, you know, like you're like the people who shouldn't even be able to behave like an asshole do. And the people that, you know, you're like, well, they're big enough that they could. They're not.
Mm-hmm.
Which leads me to my two stories that I'll share real quick. One, listen, I'm a dad before everything. And, I've told the story of, you know, Lillian Garcia a couple years ago. She was there again this year. And, I shared some, you know, personal stuff that, you know, that with my daughter, couple years ago, I basically recapped her up to speed, you know, on everything that's happened since then. And, she let me FaceTime my daughter. And she talked to her, cool. By the way, with laryngitis, her voice was essentially, you know, shot. Mm. So I'll always be a Lillian Garcia fan, nothing but love and appreciation, you know, for her to do that. That was super cool of her. And then of course, Jeff Jarrett for being a good sport as I busted his balls about Tennessee, as a Georgia fan, you know, and we kind of had a, you know, we just talked a little college football for a second. And then, you know, his wife, Karen's total sweetheart, and Cody was there, you know, their kid, Cody. I had some fun with him. We just kind of play, you know, goofing off, playing around. I got some pictures with them, which I'll post those later. I have not posted them yet. I was going to tell the stories and then post those up. I take that back. I did post the one with Jeff, but I did not post the one that, it was funny. I said, hey, I want a picture with Cody too. He's the good one in the house, you know, and took a picture. So that was fun. And then last but not least, man, I want to put over Top Rope Belts.
Yes.
Great booth they set up every year. I would like to say a couple years ago we helped. This year I kind of helped, talked more than anything, but kind of, you know, took some pictures and that kind of stuff. But, for that team, you know, cause Jay-Z works that and Hoop works that and some other guys as well. And so we just kind of help out there and hang out.
Right before the show, they interchanged the Impact belts. The Impact swapped out their old belts for some brand new belts. The Stars and the Champions came over. How cool was that? That was totally amazing.
Yeah.
To know that these are the people making the belts you see on television.
Yeah, and they do custom belts, by the way. They're not, you know, they're not cheap knockoffs. I mean, they're great quality belts. So check them out. Top Rope Belts. I highly recommend them. I've held, literally, I carried one of the two original Global Force titles over to the, you know, to Jeff Jarrett's table to basically have a little fun, you know, with him when I walked over there. And, you know, but it's like I said, it's the legit stuff. So even their custom belts, if you want one made, top quality stuff. So absolutely 110% check them out for sure.
I got to meet... You know, it's one thing to go. It's one thing to be able to go to WrestleCade and you go up to the table and you pay your money and get your autograph and a picture. Well, not when you're with Dave Wills. Okay. I told Dave Wills, you know, I really, really, I'm one of the main reasons I'm here is to meet the dirty white boy, Tony Anthony. And I'm like, that's important to me. He's one of the few people from Continental that are still alive that I don't have autographs and pictures with. And Dave's like, he's over there, let's go talk to him. So he was in the hotel bar having dinner. Dave walks right up, pitches me, and then just lets me meet. It's surreal. These people, it's surreal. I mean, Dave Wills knows everybody on the face of this earth. And he just will introduce you to them and put you over. And all of a sudden, you're talking to somebody you've idolized your entire life, or just had so much respect for their work, and they're talking like he's one of your buddies. It's insane. I got to meet the One Man Gang. That was a huge one for me. I've been trying to get him for a long time. Jessica Havoc. That was super cool. She was so nice. Everybody was nice to me, and I can't put over the entire experience more. If you're a wrestling fan and you want to get up and meet wrestlers up close and personal, I mean, everybody was there outside of the WWE. Everybody was there.
Tons of AEW talent. Claudio was there. Oh, yeah. We were talking about that. Ethan Page and, you know, a lot of other guys were there. Yeah. So, I mean, it's like basically, yes, it's outside of WWE. I mean, you know, Paul White was there. Kurt Angle was there. APA. I'm trying, you know, it's like in my head, I'm like, yeah, Mick Foley was there. It's Tracy and him put on a phenomenal event. Like we always try to tell him every year, we try to make sure we catch him, you know, at least once to say, you know, like, dude, great job. It's a great event. And look, if you can follow the directions of the website and you can take care of your business ticket. Well, I always tell most things that seem to like people have an issue with. I'm like, it was a like, just, you know, clarification, maybe an email or a phone call or whatever. So,
yeah.
But yeah, so it's the fun part about it is it's a wrestling event. They do live podcast stuff, you know, like Shane Douglas, Jeff Jarrett, you know, et cetera. They do the big super show, which, what'd they say? They broke 8,000 people there.
8,000 people. Yeah.
I bet you within it could be next year. At some point they're going to break 10,000.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Definitely. It's so cool, guys. I got to tell you, the only complaint is I'm going to have to either bring my own plunger to the Marriott, or I'm going to have to request one in the room when we get there.
I'm going to go with that as option B, as option A.
Should we just like start, maybe if we stayed on a higher floor?
I don't know about that, but I will tell you what we do need to focus on. I wish we were on a lower floor. Honestly, I wish we were on the second floor. I don't even know if there's rooms on the second floor now.
I don't think there's room. It might not be.
Because you can go up there and cross the crosswalk. So probably not. It's probably like convention stuff. But I'm glad we were third floor for that matter. Closer to the bar. It's like less travel time, you know. Because, look, that's where the action is most of the time. I mean, you know, you get to hang out. You're just doing it. It is the WrestleCade is the epitome of just catching up with buddies. It's a great big family reunion with all your wrestling wrestling friends and family.
The family you like.
The family actually you like to see every year, exactly, at Thanksgiving. So kudos to Tracy and them, man. They do, like I said, they do a killer job, and you know, it's just outstanding, and I can't recommend it enough. So I heard the Embassy does well. We were at the Marriott's where a lot of people are there. So, you know, look, book early. As soon as they give you that WrestleCade rate, start booking the rooms, buying your tickets. Mm-hmm. And look, man, just buy the whole weekend pass. Like, we don't even do everything, but we just buy the whole weekend pass just in case we want to. It's there. So, like, when they put those superstar passes and all that kind of VIPs or whatever you like to do, get them early. Don't wait till the last minute for sure. But somebody I didn't get, I was going to walk down there and try to meet him. I walked past him twice. And then it really like kind of flipped me out when Jay-Z was like, oh yeah, I know him. You know, kind of, you know, like, I know, you know, Nick Aldis, cause there's lots of rumors floating and I was wanting to kind of,
oh wow,
you know, apparently he's done in NWA. That seems to be the story. So we kind of were like, so where does he go now?
I would assume that means Mickey is done too.
Well, she's Impact, you know, more than anything. So
yeah,
I think, yeah, it's safe to say that she's probably just going to be, you know, an Impact and of course the Indies and other stuff or whatever.
So does that mean she's going to, her husband would go to Impact to be with her? Does it mean her husband, it's time for him to go to WWE? I mean, I think it's past time for him to go to WWE. In my opinion, he's terrific. He's built this. Or AEW. Where do you see him, man?
So let's do the easy answers. Impact, right? Just go. If
yes,
I always tell people, like, I don't know his finances. I don't know his life. I don't know what he's, how much he's made, saved, and all that good stuff. But if he's in a scenario where he could just go be, he could be an Impact, work with his wife, and just be happy. Kudos, man. Make that, play that game. That's awesome. AEW's the tricky one for me, because right now the confidence and faith that a lot of people kept, you know, oh, go sign with AEW, you'll get used better, that's been damaged. And I'm not saying it's inaccurate or accurate. I'm just saying that that easy say, you know, people were, oh, you're being misused somewhere, go there and you'll be used better. I'm not sold on that, and I don't think, and let me rephrase that, I don't think I was ever sold on that, but B, I don't know that that's the general consensus and the, you know, the opinion that's out there. Here's my problem with WWE with Nick Aldis. I love the character. I love the distinguished gentleman, you know, champion, yes, kind, but, you know, Ric Flair-ish, you know, personality. You ready for this, though? I had this conversation with, you know, somebody who I won't name. I don't know that he stands out with that character in WWE. Is it big enough of a character to actually get over there? It's a wrestling company's character, in my opinion. It's not a sports entertainment character, is it?
I you just threw me off completely, but you might be right, Nick.
Mm. Doesn't he have to have something a little more to pull that off, in my opinion? That's just my opinion.
I'm sure they could write his gimmick and tweak his gimmick until he where he's
oh no
there.
you're not gonna have to. Just tweaking's an understatement. I think, you know, does he have to play up like I'm a British, you know, kind of, you know, asshole, like rich,
hey,
you know?
Remember when Triple H and William Regal came out dressed with the Blue Bloods, or what was that gimmick they had?
But here's the thing. It doesn't matter that, and this is the epitome of the conversation of, just because I like it or don't like it doesn't mean that everybody else will or won't.
Mm-hmm.
I like the character.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a better fit in Impact, AEW? The character he currently has, if he's not changing, I think he's better off in Impact.
I think Impact is the better home for that character.
That's what I meant. That
I don't know. Is it the better home for Nick Aldis, though?
Well, I think there's more money, and, you know, since probably in the WWE. But that goes back to what I said to begin with. I don't know his money situation. I don't know what he's made and what he's saved.
Uh-huh.
So therein lies the question.
Prestigious did he look? How prestigious did he look at WrestleGate? It was like you were walking by royalty. It's amazing.
He looks like a champion. Like when he carried that NWA title, he brought a prestige to that belt. Here's the thing, though. That isn't exactly the same type of, like I said, I'm not saying it won't work. Listen, if you disagree, tappedoutpod@gmail.com, let us know your thoughts. Like, I just don't see the Nick Aldis current, you know, the current incarnation of Nick Aldis, you know, standing out in the WWE, even though I think there's there's a lot I love about it. I just don't know that it stands apart from all those other over-the-top characters there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's, truth be told, that was part of my concern with Cody going there, is if he's going to play the guy in the suit and he's going to, you know, is it enough? Like, he's going to have to do something kind of to push out there after he comes back too, I think. But that's a whole other type of conversation. But anyway... That's my, you know, I'd love to ever, like I said, tappedoutpod@gmail.com. What are your thoughts about Nick Aldis? Where should he go? Where should he be? And does he fit, you know, AEW, Impact, WWE? Now we're going to do something a little bit different. We haven't done it in a while, and because we recorded, you know, we double episodes, blah, 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 while we were gone. Wanted to dive in a little bit into some of the local stuff here that we haven't had a chance to dive into in a while. This weekend, Southern Honor Wrestling, right there in Canton, Georgia. They're still cruising and rolling. By the way, I think I told you guys, well, after the last show, it was the show following their anniversary show. And I think that show was probably even better than their anniversary show.
Wow.
And it was, so I always tell people, like, don't look at a card and don't judge a book by looking at the cover sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I will say the chaos that is Sunny Days, Carly Bravo, Sauronaro, Gunnar Miller, and Kyle Matthews in a five-way to crown a new Southern Honor champion, that'll be bananas. how did we get there? Cruel has been injured and has relinquished the Southern Honor title. That sucks. And it sucks big time. Because I still stand behind the face that, or the statement that Cruel is the face of IWTV for at least a year. At least. So let me do it this way. Wink, wink. I need him to be the face of the company through Thanksgiving of next year, at least. And we'll see where that goes. Okay. So do you have a pick? Who's your pick for who's going to take home that Southern Honor title?
Gunnar Miller. You asked me every question, and I'm always going to say Gunnar Miller. I'm sorry.
I agree with you, by the way. Gunnar Miller probably will be. But Southern Honor has a history of sometimes putting it on somebody that you wouldn't think, and that could be Kyle Matthews.
I got to give you that. Kyle Matthews would be an excellent champion. Kyle Matthews is a super talented wrestler. Kyle Matthews can do it all. I think that wouldn't be a bad idea. Yeah. You know, I can't complain on that.
The drawback is, of course, you do have Southern Dishonors, Sunny Days, Sal Renaro, and Carly Bravo, all three in there. Are they going to work as a team? And then
that's a tough one.
You know, you're going to have Gunnar and Kyle probably doing more. Like, look, they're going to try to win. They both want to win. Like, we're at the disadvantage of, have they deemed, as Sunny Days and Sal Renaro are your tag champions? Like, are they sitting here saying, we're going to anoint Carly Bravo the new, you know, champion until Cruel returns? And if they make a conservative effort to make that happen, who can stop them?
It's going to be tough.
I agree.
It's going to be incredibly tough. That match is going to be killer.
Yeah. Owen Knight, Naja, they're going to continue their Best of Seven series. If you've missed the first few, you have lost it. Those two, I am not surprised that the reviews they're getting all over the place from and all the buzz that they're getting. So you definitely don't want to miss that. Bryce Cannon, it's been nice knowing you. We love you, buddy. You had a great future, and you're coming in to face Cyrus. You know, so good luck with all that.
They don't call him the Destroyer for nothing.
Yeah. He needs something to, you know, crush before he's back out on the road. Jordan Kingsley versus Shoot Taylor. That one will be a good one from two young stars. Murder One, Adrian Hawkins. That's a lot of experience in the ring right there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, definitely. A lot. So that'll be one. And then the match that could easily be match of the night, Sean Legacy, Chip Day. I think Chip's got this thing where he's about to show the world why he's so good. You know, look, even in a loss, and I know this is hard. It's, you know, it sucks to say this, right? Even in a loss to Kyle Matthews, you started seeing it, you know, like, okay.
Yeah.
And I don't mean started like you've never seen it before, but like, I think Southern Honor fans are going to get that run of, you know, the Chip Day we all know is there. And I think he's going to be the, he's going to keep continue to show everybody he is. And Sean Legacy, congrats to Sean Legacy, by the way. He looks like he's heading over to NOAH. He won a tryout there, and he's going to head over to NOAH in Japan.
That's super cool.
Yep. Let's see. So anyway, that's this Friday, by the way. Right? Next weekend? I'm off a week. Yeah. See, this whole 2-week vacation's completely screwed up my time schedule. So, so Southern Fried Thanksgiving, they had their the Charles Anschutz Memorial Tag Team Tournament, and they also, which crowns the tag champions there. Hunter James and Xavier Reyes won the tournament, man. So now JBE has tag team title gold. Yeah. Dirty, underhanded JBE brought in Tristan Michaels now. It looks like they're you know. Nick Halen, by the way, did you see that match yet? I did catch it on YouTube. Check them out on their YouTube channel at Southern Fried Championship Wrestling. Hawkins and Halen are two of the best around.
Yeah.
They had a phenomenal match. You thought it was billed as this was kind of the end. You know, basically winner, essentially, you don't want to say gets the approved or whatever, you know, the name.
Yeah.
Nick Halen took a loss, but he sure as hell walked out like he won. And because it clearly looks like this is not over. And love him or hate him, what do we say about Nick Haslund? One of the best wrestlers in Georgia, and he's constantly proven why he is that way. They do have their next show. It's December 3rd, correct?
Yes.
Okay. I wanted to make sure. Yeah. CT Keys will defend the Southern Fried Heavyweight Championship against Will Caution. They love them some Will Caution in Monroe. Yes. So that'll be a huge opportunity for him. Brooklyn will wrestle Kat Spencer. She's a nightmare factory, you said, right?
I believe so, yes.
I believe so, maybe. How about Brooklyn, man? Give her some... Listen, lover or hater, right? No matter where she... Depends on where she's at. How about her coming on? Because we had this conversation about women's wrestling, which we'll have on another episode, because we want to put some more meat on that bone, talking about the women's division here in Georgia. Is she quiet your women's wrestler of the year, possibly?
I would think so, in my opinion. I would definitely think so. It's been a weird year for women's wrestling. A lot of people in and out, coming and going, different changes, people out injured. Brooklyn has always been part of the Georgia wrestling scene. Also just had a kid a little while ago. She got back in phenomenal shape. She's good. She's a very good wrestler. I think she doesn't get the respect she deserves. I think she is going to be super over in this year's. But that's me.
Because in the past, it's always been, you know, oh, she doesn't wrestle enough, or she's more of a character, personality, you know, valet, picket, what her role is at any promotion. But watching her wrestle now, and on top of all of the other things, we were discussing that. I'm like, I don't know, man. We probably are seeing it. It's one of those, like, might be flying under the radar a little bit. Yes. Last but not least, there will be an eight-man tag, Hunter James, Xavier Reyes, TSF versus Happy Madness, Michael Judas, and Billy Buck. That's a... Okay, that right side, that Judas, Buck, Madness side. Listen, let me back up. Hunter James is a little pain in the ass, but he's a talented little pain in the ass. Mm-hmm. Xavier Reyes, you know, JBE, anything JBE touches is going to be, you know, they're going to make it solid, and they make champions, right?
Yeah.
TSF, they're a young and up and coming team. Good luck with that Happy Madness, Judas, Billy Buck team. That's a shit ton of experience. That's a lot of experience. And by the way, it's also a lot of beef in there as well.
Yeah.
So I don't know what those, you know, JBE's probably bitten off a little more than they can chew when they decided to take that on. So, man, we got a lot of stuff. So we're going to fly through some of this. We could kick ourselves. Look, scheduling is what it is. Championship District Wrestling ran on Sunday. We were literally still driving back from WrestleCade. And I could literally kick myself for that. It was one of the main shows. I was like kicking myself that I was going to miss while we were gone.
Mm-hmm.
And of all things, frickin' Billy Gunn.
Yeah.
You know, Billy Gunn shows up, makes the save with QT Marshall. Apparently EC3 and Fodder. It looks like the Control Your Narrative groups looks like they're going to try to literally take control of a championship district or something.
That's a crazy idea.
Mm. Yeah. But the big news coming out of it is after the attack and after the save by Billy Gunn, they've made a challenge to those guys at the next show. It says December 18th. It says 1 p.m. I'll probably reach out to them and clarify, because they've usually been running a little bit later than that. And because we weren't here last time, I didn't completely catch the time. So on the one they just ran. And so that's one I will do my best to make. I'll say it right here. Look, my December is toast. Between work events and family reunions and Christmas, you know, events and stuff, I don't think I'll see another Saturday show until January. Like, I don't have a free Saturday until then. I honestly am concerned. My last wrestling show I will see will be the Southern Honor show on that Friday, and like won't see another one until January. That's how crazy my schedule looks for the next month. But I am going to do my best. Hopefully that start time on the 18th might be conducive to me actually getting down there and seeing that one, because that's one I definitely want to see as well.
Of course.
Wanted to plug a few companies. Look, we try to get out the word, talk a little bit. Southern States, look, we talk to a lot of guys who work there. They love working there. They do. Mm-hmm. And look, the objective of the company, we you know it. They're bringing along young talents, and they're using a lot of leadership to do it.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Jeter, Huck, Joe, Trevor Aeon, Chip Day. I mean, you know, Murder, obviously Murder One behind the scenes as well. You know, and then like we talked about this, like literally we talked about this at WrestleCade. But yeah, we're at WrestleCade. We're talking about Southern States. It's a promotion that's, you know, that we're constantly talking about. Because they've got guys like Duncan Mitchell. And look, I know when I say Proc and, you know, Proc the Croc and Exotic Youth, people are like, oh, well, they've been, okay, yeah, but they're still young. I mean, they're still younger guys. Like, you know, they're still developing. Like, I had a whole conversation with somebody, and it was like, you know, somebody talked about, like, Hanson, like, he's a vet. And I'm like, y'all know, like, he's only been doing this, like, 3 years, right?
Yeah.
Like, a little over, but you get to just what I'm saying. And I'm like, we want to take like all that they've accomplished, and you want to forget that they're still learning and they're still young and they got a long way to go. And that's why the places like PCW, Anarchy, Southern States, and, you know, those kind of places have a solid purpose here in wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And then I know you wanted to bring up Deep South. You talked
Deep
about that
South, man. How this. I have not been able to get to one of their shows. I'm dying to be able to get to one of their shows. Nick Patrick is in charge of this. They're drawing pretty decent crowds. It's more of a, apparently from what the story, the review I read, it's more of like a fun crowd, like a, you know, a bar type crowd, drawing well, great talent. A lot of people are learning. A lot of people are getting put over there. A lot of people are learning there and getting their chops in. I think this is going to be more important. You know, this is going to be something, another one of those shows that winds up being more important than we understand later on.
100% agree with you. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, they're bringing in, and I always tell people, like, you can kind of tell by who you're bringing in is how serious you are and how much of a game you want to make. Skrilla, yes, Skrilla, we absolutely love him. He knows it. He's outworking everybody, right? We always talk about that. He's everywhere. That's one of the things I try to tell a lot of the guys, of like, the more places you work, the more types of crowd, you know, the different types of crowds you're going to work with. You can learn to work different styles, things like that. And that's why it's such a thing. Naja's the same. Naja's everywhere. Mm-hmm. I know they've had Naja and him, Zach Mosley had some, you know, Skrilla, they've all worked there. Mm-hmm. They brought in Koloff, they brought Trevor Aeon in, Talaferro. So they're going even with some theatrics, which is cool to me, that they're embracing that it's not just like, you know, best wrestling around. You know, it's like
bell to bell.
I mean, you know, so it's cool. I mean, and that's kind of the cool thing about here in this area. Like, there's so many different ones. Like, if you're a diehard, like, I like wrestling. Like, if you're like a Ring of Honor guy, like I was a Ring of Honor fan. That's kind of my thing. Okay, awesome. Well, there's, you know, you've got Action for you as well. Not that they don't tell stories, but that's kind of what their wheelhouse is. It's the closest thing to Ring of Honor and an indie promotion. And then you've got all this other stuff around, you know, but then you've got a new promotion who's embracing the theatrics of it and clearly looks like it's paying off for them.
Yeah.
So, and then on the other extreme, you know, look, we've got, you know, Viral down and, you know, IWE kind of down in that Augusta area that just continue to do what they do and, you know, crush it every show and bring in lots of talents. So kudos to that. Here's the only thing I wish. I wish more promotions would use YouTube. Like, set up a couple hard cams. Look, I even have told people, like, if you just want something, man, set up with like a, you know, with a, talk to Adam Vance, who does, you know, Southern Fried. He'll give you a tip on how to set up some stuff.
Yeah.
It's not that crazy. Get your product in front of as many people as you can on YouTube. And that way, you know, because everybody can't see every show. And it's not that hard. It's really not, folks. YouTube's not that hard. And I, you know, I kudos to the companies that do it on a regular. Well, and you know, like some people are like, oh, well, this company's not on there. I'm like, no, they're just fucking on IWTV.
Yeah.
They're recording and they're putting it out somewhere. So, you know, and then there's Fight that, you know, that people get on. There's other companies that do it as well. But last but not least, I also wanted to bring out, like, how crazy is it now that Athens is back as a wrestling town, like big time? Not that they ever weren't, but, you know, now you've got Classic City, you've got Southern Violence, UWF. I kind of consider them in Athens. It's, you know, right outside in Colbert. So that kind of like a, there's like, I was joking with somebody, like, there's essentially like three promotions running up there in Athens now.
Yeah. And I went to school there, and I wish that wrestling would have been there when I went to school. Wow. How cool would that have been?
Yeah. I mean, cause on any given week now, a week, you know, you between all these shows running, you can see Nick Kalin, Hunter James, Vary Morales, Owen Knight, Matt Sills, Alex Kane, Naja, Austin Towers, Jeter, All-Star Special. I mean, like, dude, whatever happened to, like, I got to drive all the way downtown, or I got to drive to metro area to see a great wrestling. The hell you do? Mm-hmm. It's in Athens.
Yep.
Tell me a spot in the state now where you can't go see a good wrestling show.
The area that you can't get to wrestling at is shrinking every day.
Yeah.
And people want to people talk this and that. Wrestling. What you have to understand that in 2022, wrestling is growing grassroots in the state of Georgia till it's covering the whole state. That is incredible. Okay. I think wrestling's probably healthier as a business than it's ever been. And you can quote me on that if you'd like, but the whole, or you can argue with me, but that's my opinion.
And if you do want to argue with him, tappedoutpod@gmail.com. That would be the place to send those memos to and let him know how he's lost his mind, right? That's what you want to tell him, right? but hey, man, look, if you're also, by the way, you know the other place you can do it, Byron?
Where's that?
You could always, if you're wanting to make a good complaint and all that good stuff, check us out behind the paywall over on YouTube at our Tapped Out Wrestling Podcast. Just look, just go to YouTube. Don't try to remember the long, you know, URL, and just type in Tapped Out Wrestling Podcast. You'll find it pretty easy and simple. We appreciate it. And you, like I said, you get the show early. Like, you would have got this show basically a day and a half, almost 2 days early.
I could offend you earlier.
Exactly. You'd be able to argue with Myron before the show even came out.
Yes.
But look, we know not everybody likes to see our beautiful faces right there on the YouTube. Some people are more of a podcast people, the audio only. They check us out on all of the, you know, wherever our podcasts are. At this point, it's easier for me just to say we're all the platforms where your podcasts are found. But I will say, obviously, Amazon Music, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartMedia, any, like I said, pretty much Google Podcasts, anywhere there's a home. Hey, but don't forget, if you are a podcast listener, don't just, you know, just listen and go, while you're in there, pop that little 5-star rating and review on there. We'd greatly appreciate it. People kind of forget about how much that helps out while your show is growing and all that good stuff, because we still growing. We only six.
Growing every day.
So, matter of fact, I did save this on intentionally because to see, like, how many people can catch the fact that this is the 800th episode in our podcast network's history. This was episode 800, and I was going to make a big deal of it, and I said, you know what, the hell with that. We do that at a thousand.
That's going to be a party. Maybe we will run another show called 1,000.
Maybe.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm making myself a Christmas list for Georgia wrestling. What I want under my tree Christmas Day for wrestling and Georgia wrestling. I'm going to make two lists. I'm going to check them both twice. That's four times total. And prepare a Christmas list for professional wrestling.
Yeah, that's that. We're going to work on some unique shows here to round out the year. We talked a little bit off the air. If you want to hear something different, whether it's year-end awards, superlatives, we've done those before in the past. We've talked about doing like the year in review. We've talked about list shows, etc. Send all your suggestions to tappedoutpod@gmail.com. We'll kind of, you know, put those in a packet. We've, you know, talked about doing some special stuff to wrap up the year. Because, yeah, man, the year's almost over, believe it or not. Can you believe that? The year is almost over. That's crazy. Only a one solid month left to go. Well, brother, we broke the hour threshold. We haven't done that in a long, long time. So you got anything else, or?
I don't have anything else.
Well, what's the old saying, brother? If I've got nothing and you've got nothing, what time is it?
It's time to tap out.